Welcome back in, everybody. Happy Tuesday. Hopefully you got out there and enjoyed the weather today. What a great day. A little better than what we had yesterday. You are listening to Steen on Sports, bringing sports your way every day right here on 1700 The Champ AM, 101.3 FM. Real sports talk for real sports fans. You can check us out on Twitter at 1700 The Champ and at Steen on Sports. You also can check us out on Facebook at 1700 The Champ as well. Want to just mention, give a quick mention to the sponsors to start the show. DeMoss Des Moines Orthopedic, Heritage Building Maintenance, Northwest Bank, Palmer Group, Woodman Controls, and iCubs. Want to thank them for being part of the show. I got a hold of my coaching friend, Mr. Kevin O'Hare. I have Kevin coming in today. He is at KOHare55 on Twitter. Coach, how you doing?
I'm doing great. How are you doing?
I'm doing wonderful. It's I want summertime to get here. You never know anymore. It's killing my golf game, Coach.
I don't know. Well, you should be out. Well, once we get off tonight, maybe you'll be able to get out to Copper and get 9 in.
Get a little bit of golf in there. I've played more than normal, but still, it we'd like to have a little bit nicer weather. It'd be okay. How's things? How's work? That's number one.
Work's good. We got to plug the Young Brothers. The Young Brothers over at Watercrest Financial doing a fantastic job.
Absolutely. Keeping you busy.
But, no, work's going good. Basketball's going well. We got Grandview camp this weekend. So every high school in town is underway with camps and clinics. So it's a good month for high school hoops.
How cool is that to have a NAIA university like Grandview in your city?
Oh, it's huge. And they do it, and Coach Schaefer over there and Coach Mason, they do a great job with their camps and their clinics. And this weekend is freshman through varsity games every day, so it'll be really good for varsity teams to use a shot clock. It'll be good for younger teams just to play teams they don't normally play all the time. There's teams from all over Iowa entered in it, so it'll be a lot of fun.
That was the big conversation of I got to – this is – this graduating senior class, I think, was the last class that I actually coached in eighth grade. And I talked to a bunch of them during the grad parties, and they're all sad they're missing the shot clock era.
I bet they are. It's long overdue. It should have happened 10, 15 years ago. So it'll be – I mean, again, I don't think it's gonna make a difference end of quarters. It'll make difference throughout the game because, you know, you can press more, and by the time you get the ball to half court, 7 seconds have been taken off. Now you're down to 28 seconds, whatever. But end of quarters, it'll be huge.
You're going to know the most important thing you're going for teams when they're dealing with the shot clock, who are really good at taking good shots and making them, and who can pass the ball and dribble the ball without making turnovers. I mean, that it just makes it a more exciting game, and the fact that it was technology that stopped it from happening a long time ago is kind of ridiculous, so I'm glad it's here.
Yeah, me too. It's going to allow kids who, you know, go to players, so to speak, with 8 seconds on the clock. You're going to find out a lot about certain guys and people stepping up in certain moments, so it'll be good.
What's numbers look like for Dowling?
We've had really good numbers. We've had 28 kids at camp.
There you go.
And again, 15 roster spots. So to have 28 there is really good. We're at upper 30s for our freshman group, and then our sophomore groups are around 20. And then we got youth camp going on this week with 95 kids in each session. So really good.
That's amazing. That is really good. At these graduation parties as well, you know, you get to see some of the freshman and sophomore, you know, boys and girls, but the girls, a little bit more notoriety that so many of them played varsity last year. Dowling Catholic's going to be good at girls basketball for a while.
Yeah, they are. They were young last year for the most part, and so I think they played three freshmen quite a bit. So they've got that under their belt now, and a good little segue here, but they've had a former player come back and talk to them and, you know, teach them the ropes a little bit. And
did she yell at him?
Did you yell at him, Caitlin? No, there was no yelling there. I'll let you segue into this, Gary. But anytime you got someone like her to come back and give some advice is always a cool deal.
Well, that's cool. And he's getting ready to have a workout session with Caitlin Clark. One of the nice things, if you pass the phone to Caitlin, I can ask her this question.
She's got it. It's all you.
Caitlin, what were you thinking having him be your trainer? He's crazy.
Yeah, it was crazy. I don't know what I was thinking. I need to get a new trainer.
My 26-year-old's still scared of him. So
everybody's scared of him.
Oh my goodness.
He scares all the freshman boys away when he has to coach them freshman year, punching lockers, screaming, breaking clipboards.
What are we going to do with him? And he's mellowed. That's the bad thing. That just think what it was like a while ago. For everybody out there, this is Caitlin Clark. She's at Caitlin Clark 22 on Twitter. I have to tell you a story, and I couldn't wait to get to, I was either going to see you or have you on. We had UNI Panther Caravan a couple of weeks ago, and my last interview, I got to choose between, I had the football coach, Mark Farley, I had the basketball coach, Ben Jacobson, and I took neither, I took Tanya Warren. And for a couple of reasons, because she was a grade behind me, or no, she was a grade ahead of me. Her brother was like two or three grades ahead. He was a great basketball player. I had a huge crush on Tanya Warren when I was in high school because we always had basketball games together. But even bigger than that, just coming off of watching you play UNI, and I wanted to ask her about you. And this is what she said. She said, a lot of people think that Caitlin and I have a beef. She goes, it couldn't be further from the truth. She goes, I used to think that I was a really, really good high school and college basketball player. And I couldn't even do any, she goes, I think the term she used, I couldn't even do 50% of what Caitlin's been able to do. And the fact that we even talk to each other on the court shows the respect that we have for each other because we're both very competitive. And she goes, there is nothing this young gal can't do. And the scary part for the rest of us is that she's going to get better at the things that she doesn't even know that she can do. She gave you pretty high praise for a very talented coach and a really good high school player.
No, yeah, that's super cool. And, you know, obviously you and I usually challenge us every single year, every single time we play them. They recruit really well inside our state. They got a lot of Iowa girls that play for them. A lot of my former teammates, actually. From AAU basketball. So I know their roster pretty well. And obviously she's done a tremendous job there. They almost won the Missouri Valley this year, had a heck of a tournament. And honestly, we're one game away from making the NCAA tournament. So I have a lot of respect for them as well. And, you know, I think, you know, having that competitive juice inside of you, that's what makes you great. That's what has made her program great, her a great coach. So, you know, it's been really fun getting to play them. I think really getting to play any of the in-state schools, you know, those are the games you get up. You get a little more excited for Iowa State, Drake, UNI. Those are just more fun. They got a little more to them. They mean a little more to you. So absolutely, I totally agree. And it's really cool to hear those kind words she shared with you.
Yeah, she's a great gal. Here's the thing. And once again, we're talking to Caitlin Clark. Thanks to Coach Kevin O'Hare for having a workout scheduled at 4:30 and wanting to come on the show. There's an opportunity because let's talk about the other two first. Drake and you and I are both going to be really good this year. They both have a chance to win the Missouri Valley. A lot of local talent, young, really exciting to get to see them play. And then you throw the other two in, and I just wanted to get your take on the fact that there's a really good chance. There's a complete chance that Iowa State and Iowa are both going to be in the top 10. There's a chance that both of you could be in the top 7 when polls come out before season starts. What's that going to be like for you?
You know, I think more than anything, it's just really good for basketball in our state. And I think you've seen that. I think the way people support women's basketball is, you know, really unreal in a way. I mean, we sold out Carver Hawkeye Arena, 15,000 people. And I still had a bunch of people asking me for tickets, how they could get in. A lot of people on our team did, our coaches did, and we're like, we're sorry, we just don't have any more. We don't have any ways to get them. So, you know, that's a great problem to have, but, you know, I think that's really good for our state, and I fully expect Iowa State to be inside the top 10 as well. I mean, they're bringing back their core. They should be tremendous again. So, you know, it's just really exciting, and like you said, I mean, you and I and Drake, they're not far behind. They've had great history in their programs. They're really talented, have a lot of skill. So they challenge us when we play them. And, you know, I think they'll do very well in the Missouri Valley as well. So more than anything, I think you can see that by the support and the excitement around the state for all the programs. And it's really great for our game, really.
You have a interesting group. You return almost everybody, if not everybody. You are bringing in four really good freshmen and a transfer. When's the first time that you'll get to see some of those some of the freshmen get to play some?
Yeah, so we'll get to start back up on this coming Monday. Everybody will be back on campus, and this will be probably the first time Coach Bluter's had a full roster of 15 people. So that's the most scholarships you can have. We have three incoming freshmen, Gatorade Player of the Year from Nebraska and Iowa. So that's pretty exciting. The one coming from Nebraska is Nebraska's all-time three-point leader there, can really shoot the ball. So that's super exciting as well. And then obviously the transfer coming from Central Michigan, which we actually played her freshman year.
Yeah,
she's pretty good. And Central Michigan was really good. That would have been her freshman or sophomore year. I can't remember exactly, but they were really good then. And then they kind of coaching change, I think, lost a couple players, kind of struggled last year. So her numbers were great last year. Just overall as a team, they weren't the best. So. You know, I know she wanted to find a winning program, and that ended up being us. And, you know, so I think we're going to definitely have a lot of talent. And I think, you know, more than anything, it's going to make practice super competitive. It's going to make people compete harder and harder and make people better. So I'm excited. I'm excited to see how everybody competes with each other. I think it's going to be some intense good days in summer, but that's what you want. You want people to be going at it with each other, competing hard, you know. That's only going to make you better in the long run.
And the nice thing about it is, you know, some people don't like to have expectations. Great players love expectations because it gives them something to shoot for, and it gives them something to go above and beyond. One of the other things I wanted to talk to you about, especially since I saw the Zediker girl and a couple of others, the simple fact that you have that ability to come back to the high school and talk to these girls and maybe try to make them understand, you know, the best part about this, even as good as you are, there's times where things don't go your way. And that is how you grow as an individual. And I can tell you, I've watched you since you were in seventh and eighth grade, and everything that you've done up until that point it's your attitude and your determination that's changed every year. First thing is, do you still got another level that you can go there? And the second one is, what kind of advice do you give to the young gals?
Yeah, I think there's always room to improve in, you know, your attitude, your leadership, just all that sorts of stuff. And I think that comes with maturing and getting older. And obviously, you know, I'm only going into my junior year. I'm only halfway done. And, you know, I've learned a ton over the past 2 years. So, you know, that's been super cool. And obviously Coach Bluter is one of the best coaches of all time. So all you can really do is learn from her. And, you know, I think the advice I'd give to the younger girls is, one, enjoy every single second because it goes so fast. I feel like it was just yesterday I was in high school. I remember playing my first varsity basketball game. So I think, one, it just goes super fast, and enjoying every single second. And then, you know, just leaving it all out there every single time you play, because, you know, you never know what's going to be your last. You never know, you know, what I didn't, my senior year, we lost to go to state. We probably shouldn't have lost. We were the second ranked team, and we probably weren't planning on losing, but, you know, it can end in a blink of an eye. We lost this year, probably weren't planning on losing. So just enjoying every single second and competing every time you step on the floor.
So getting there, and once again, we want to thank Caitlin Clark for coming on today. She's at Caitlin Clark 22 on social media. Not that people already don't know that. she's coached by Kevin O'Hare. Kevin's a regular on this show. It's not like Kevin and I haven't talked. And one of the things that he has said, he's making you, he wants you to get bigger and stronger. He wants you to be more productive going to your left. And I'm seeing if you agree with these after we get done. And the other one is, and the one that I thought was one of the biggest keys, is sometimes when Monica is not on the floor, to get you to post up, because I've seen your inside moves. I think that is something that if you work on, it's really going to highlight your game.
Yeah, absolutely. I agree with all those. And I think, you know, being in the weight room, getting stronger, obviously that wasn't really a huge focal point for me in high school. So once I got to the college level, you know, being able to take that a little more seriously and then, you know, getting better going to my left. I'm pretty good going to my right. I'm pretty good using my step back going to my left, but just being able to finish around the rim a little more efficiently to my left. And then obviously the post-up game we've been working a lot about. And, you know, I don't need a ton of moves in the post, but just getting a few that I'm pretty solid at and can go to. And then also just being able to pass out of the post. You know, they're going to have to be able to double team or help off or something. And, you know, we've got some pretty great shooters on our team. So getting them to spot up and be ready out of the post-up and being ready to knock it down, I think it can just add a whole nother element kind of to our offense that people really aren't ready for or have seen before.
Yeah, I think that's a big one too. And it was really funny because one of the things, and until he pointed it out, you do have places on the floor that you like better than other places on the floor. And Kevin, we had a conversation one time and I'm like, Kevin, I don't think that's right. And then I watched a couple of games and you definitely have spots where you're more comfortable.
Absolutely. Yeah, I think totally. And, you know, they give us a breakdown at the end of the year, like, you can see your shooting percentage from every single spot on the court, close in, far out, whatever it is. And, you know, there are areas that, you know, I'm not very good in, or I don't even take that many shots in, or things like that. So, you know, it's really cool to see the breakdown, especially at the end of the year, and even like our team breakdown of where we're not very good, where we need to improve, where we are really good.
Well, Caitlin, I appreciate it. Tell Coach I appreciate it too. I'll give you guys a quick call after I get off here and tell you thank you as well. Thanks for coming on.
Perfect. Thank you.
Caitlin Clark, Coach Kevin O'Hare. Kind of a surprise today. It was kind of fun. You're listening to Steen on Sports. I'll be right back.
And the Ad Council.
Brewed in Des Moines. You're listening to Steen on Sports. 1700 The Champ. Real sports talk for real sports fans.
Welcome back in, everybody. Once again, happy Tuesday. Hope everybody enjoyed that. A impromptu interview with Caitlin Clark, University of Iowa, starting her junior year, probably heading back up to school here in the next week or so, I would assume. You could start seeing some of the volleyball, and at least the freshman-wise are up for, you know, going through all the stuff with school and then getting some workouts in as well. I want to thank Coach Kevin O'Hare once again for making that happen. They were getting ready to do a workout at 4:25, so it kind of worked out. It was nice to get to talk to her. I will do that all the time. You have to remember when you've talked to her and you've had interviews with her, because she's special. And she's a special person and a special athlete. You sometimes forget that, you know, with all the girls, and as highly as she spoke of Drake, you and I, and Iowa State as well. All these student athletes, the pressure they're under, the pressure to get schoolwork done, to, you know, to be a student, but you're still, you know, you have. You're traveling probably 20 hours a week. You're practicing, you know, you're probably not 20. Say you're traveling 10 hours a week. You're practicing double that. You still have study. You still have to go to class. You start running out of minutes in the day to just take a step back and go, whew, man. So we probably don't even give them enough kudos, student athletes, as much as we probably should. So, it's always nice to see how well they do when they come on and how well they represent themselves. And it's quite an honor to have her on the show. You're listening to Steen on Sports, bringing sports your way every day right here on 101.3 FM, 1700 The Champ AM. Real sports talk for real sports fans. You can check us out on Twitter at 1700 The Champ and at Steen on Sports. Facebook's at 1700 The Champ and the website 1700thechamp.com. This segment will be brought to you by, we will do Heritage Building Maintenance. They were founded in 2011 right here in the Midwest, provide quality health-centric building maintenance care. They believe the cleaning industry should provide the first line of defense and proper health care. Very important in the world that we are in now. Always looking for the right process to provide the highest quality, safest, and most healthy environment for your employees. They are certified partners in science-proven microbial control, the state-of-the-art protection to keep their environment safety and more healthy for all of your for all the people, your workers in the buildings. So when they say that they're that line of defense, that's the cleanliness of your building affects the cleanliness of your air. It affects everything. And they're a really good company that does a really good job, and I'm really happy to have them be a part of the program. Just some quick things out there. Prince would have been 64 today. As popular as Prince was and everything that he did, the fact that he's only 8 years older than me freaks me out sometimes. And then I think, okay, that means when he did Purple Rain, he was not very old. Because I wasn't very old when I watched Purple Rain. So he would have been 64. He left us too soon. The craziest thing that I can tell you about Prince, I had a buddy who had, I have no idea how he had him, but he had made some tapes from just sessions that Prince had done. No singing, just him playing every instrument that you could think of. That's how talented he was. The talent of the talented musician that he was and the talent of songwriting and composing and doing all that probably far outweighed his actual singing ability and his performing ability. Behind the scenes, listening to him play was just amazing to be able to hear these tapes, and it was crazy. I try not to, and this isn't a political thing. Matthew, I saw an interview, Matthew McConaughey, he did a news conference today after the shooting. Uvalde, he was born and raised there. He's probably more of a Republican than he is anything, and he is definitely a gun owner, and even he had things today that he's saying, you know, we have a hard time because we have a country now that is, everybody thinks, and this is really funny coming from a radio person, everybody thinks they have an opinion and their opinion is right, and that gives them the opportunity to voice their opinions everywhere. And I can't say that, oh my gosh, you can't do that, because I do it every day. Now, I don't take hot button topics a ton. I have some hot button topics that I like to talk about. I have some others that I don't, because until we can figure out a way to get around some of the angst that's there from all of this, there's no having level-headed talking sessions. People are too passionate about their beliefs. There's nothing wrong with that. That's the reason we live where we live. The ability to have a passionate belief that you can shout at the top of your lungs while someone else shouts at the top of their lungs. And the fact that that can happen in this country makes it what this country is. Now, when you get people trying to take that away, that we shouldn't be able to do that back and forth, well, we don't want that. We went away from that. I don't want the government telling me what to do on everything. Listen, doing government service, my wife has worked in government service since she was 19 years old. That's why she's going to be able to retire early and then do what she wants to do, which will probably be the same thing that she's doing. That doesn't make them, you know, that doesn't make them the smartest people in the room. It doesn't make them the dumbest people in the room. there are people in the world that we should listen to. There are people in the world that we should go, yeah, that's probably not the brightest thing I've heard anybody say. But you have to be able to, you know, kind of maneuver your way around that. And Prince had an easy way of doing stuff like that. Because, man, he's eclectic. That was one eclectic dude. But he got through that, you know, and here's the best thing I can think of with all the things that are going on, and there's so many. I mean, you have gun violence, and you have voting, and you have racial anxiety and all of that, all those things going on, and every day, and you know, it gets talked about on TV because people like hearing people yell at each other, and it sells. If it didn't sell, it wouldn't be on all the time, and it would be different. You know what made the world stop for a couple of weeks? How silly is this? And it's just because I thought it was amazing. Top Gun. Top Gun 2. Or Top Gun Maverick, whatever you... And it was for that exact reason. It was a movie. When I asked people what they think of the movie, they said it was a movie for 2 hours. I didn't think about anything else except for had a smile on my face because I was getting to see another Top Gun. Sometimes that's what we need in life, right? We get all the rest. I mean, they bombard you with everything else every day. They bombard you with all the thing. Here's my biggest issue that I have, and this is a sports issue. It is a politic issue. It is a music industry issue. Everybody likes the negative. It's more fun to talk about how many times somebody failed. Like, let's say tonight or tomorrow night when they play, Jason Tatum and Steph Curry, and both of them score 30 points, but they're 11 for 25 from the floor. You know what the first thing they're going to talk about? Oh my God, you see how bad a shooting night they had. They scored over 30 points in the NBA with the greatest players in the world. You'll see a football game. They'll go, Patrick Mahomes threw 4 interceptions today. Oh, that's the reason that we lost. Well, if he wouldn't have thrown the 4 touchdown passes as well, we wouldn't have been in the... I mean, we dwell on the negative. We do that. We do that in youth sports. I was just with Caitlin and graduation parties. It's still an issue out there that we can't find umpires because people dwell on umpires. And I said some things about some umpires the other night. There's a difference. High school umpires that come in and are refereeing high school games, you know, you got to cut them some slack. They're not making a lot of money, and it's not like they've had, you know, 10 years of training to do it. They do a good job. Can they be wrong? Absolutely. But once you get into college reffing and professional reffing, they get paid enough money and they have enough effect on the game that they're going to have to start answering for themselves. They don't do that a lot now. You don't see after games that happening. I think one of the things that could change the way that we have an opinion on umpires or referees or whatever is if they had to come out. I don't want them to face questions. I just want them to come out and explain the ebb and flow of the game, what they thought of how the game went and how their calls went. Was there anything that they thought they missed? Was there anything that they know that this was correct? I mean, some of the plays that happened yesterday, if it was a basketball player, if it was a baseball play, you have instant replay. So my issue, and the biggest one was the one I saw today. So it's did I write that down? It was a college baseball game, and I don't know if I wrote down the teams that were playing. It was, gosh darn it. I probably could see again because it's plastered all over Twitter. A guy hits a pitch, knocks it into the ground. Pitcher's coming to get it. Guy's running down first base. And unlike, high school, you have that bag on the other side. College baseball, professional baseball doesn't have that. He's got nowhere to go and be able to touch the bag than where he was running. And the first baseman was there. What the first baseman is supposed to do is when the pitcher is going to throw on the other side of the bag, he's supposed to put his other foot down and take it on the other side. He didn't. He took it standing on top of the bag, and the runner ran into him. He had been safe. He beat the throw, and they called him out and made the runner go back to third. It was a horrific call. And I'm not saying it was a horrific call that has a really good chance of being correct. That's on college baseball. That it was a wrong on both parts, because they said, well, he was running on the infield. No, he wasn't. He was right on that line all the way down. When he hit that bag, he hit that bag square in the middle to the outside of the line on the bag, and the first baseman was standing there, and they ran into each other. The fact that I don't think they should have been called an outer safe on that play was because they both hit there at the same time, and he was there before the ball was there. So it didn't affect the play. I have no idea what happened after that point, because I haven't had a chance to see all the scores yet today. The one yesterday where the base runner, I can't remember if it was Louisville or if it was Michigan, but when the base runner ran in, and you can physically see the glove there, his sliding hand move up in the air, touch the glove, and then come down as the glove slid underneath. Now, could you make that call bang, bang? No, I probably would have called him safe too. But the fact that that call went to replay, and they replayed it a lot, and they still got the call wrong in a knockout game, you can't have that happen. You just can't. It's not my, I don't want umpires to be, this is my problem with Major League Baseball umpiring right now. When people are behind the plate or they're making a call in the field, they want the game to be about them. People didn't come to have umpires be part of the game. They're there to make sure the game is played fairly and equally. But when you're calling strikes and you don't know where they are, and you're calling balls when they're right down the middle, and you're making all these things, and the one where a kid hit a home run and he was watching it, and the umpire shoved him down first base, umpire should be gone for a couple of days. And you're going to have people go, well, that was a great thing. He wasn't letting him show. He wasn't showing up anything. He was watching the baseball go. Elimination games, and he hit a home run. Let the darn kids watch their ball. He wasn't looking at the pitcher. He was looking at his ball. Don't touch the athletes. If the athletes can't touch the umpires, I don't care why he was touching him. Coaches shouldn't be able to touch athletes. Coaches shouldn't be able to touch umpires. And umpires shouldn't be able to touch either one as well. The fact that he did, he shouldn't be umpiring. It was wrong. Sorry. You are listening to Scene on Sports, bringing sports your way every day right here on 101.3 FM, 1700 The Champ AM, Real Sports Talk to Real Sports Fans. Zach Steenblatt coming in for a couple of sections here. Haven't seen him for a while.
Sign up for 101.3 Breeze, Iowa Sports. Steen on Sports. 1700 The Champ. Real sports talk for real sports fans.
Welcome back in, everybody. Happy Tuesday. Hope everybody had a good day. You are listening to Steen on Sports, bringing sports your way every day right here on 101.3 FM, 1700 The Champ AM, Real Sports Talk for Real Sports Fans. You can check us out on Twitter at 1700 The Champ, or at Steen on Sports. Facebook's at 1700 The Champ as well. This segment will be brought to you by Northwest Bank. Two locations in Ankeny, one in West Des Moines, a new branch in Ames, three locations in Omaha, and many, many more throughout the state, especially up in the northwest corner of the state. Commitment you can count on. They're taking care of your personal business, mortgage, wealth management, private banking, and they do it with your best interests at hand. Go in, tell them Steen sent you, open up an account. Check on maybe getting some money to pay off your bills. If you get a new mortgage loan, a new car loan, all those things, they are going to be there with you the whole way, helping you the whole way, because it is commitment you can bank on with Northwest Bank, member FDIC. Next guest is Zach Steenblok. He is at Zach Steenblok on Twitter. How you doing, buddy?
I'm doing good. How about you?
I'm doing good. First off, how's the poison ivy? Better?
It's still about the same. It's getting there, I guess.
What a couple of weeks you've had.
What'd you say?
I said, what a couple of weeks that you have had. You've been in Vegas twice, getting ready to go down to the Ozarks for another one. You have not been home much.
I have not. And get back from the Ozarks and travel to Chicago for work for 2 days.
There you go. Now that's keeping it is keeping you busy.
Let's just say not all parties are happy. You know what I mean?
Yes. Wanted to touch base with you on a few things. Since you are my resident Grand Prix guy, is there, if you're listening, and I watch from afar, but I kind of keep my ear to the ground a little bit, is Lewis Hamilton losing some of his driving technique, or is it only car related? And what's his future look like?
I don't know if he's losing his ability. It may just be the interest at some point in time, right? He's been on the top for so long, and it is a young man's game. You know, we saw that with Max Verstappen last year. I believe he was 22 or 23 years old, which is just incredible, right?
Yeah.
But I think he's also dealing with, you know, they see George Russell. He just signed to Mercedes this year. He's a young, up-and-coming driver, and he's kind of getting the treatment that Lewis got for so many years when he had Bottas as his partner. So it's not all equal, right? You don't get the same love from your team, the same, you know, they are the same team, but they're still competitors, right?
Right.
If someone's car is going faster, someone has a better chance, they're going to do all they can to get that person, you know, ahead. And I don't know if Lewis is just losing interest or what it is, but he's been racing for a long time, and I don't think it diminishes his legacy.
He's still the greatest Grand Prix.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I get it, though, and he just, I think to all of us, he seems young. I mean, he's not young. I mean, it is a young man's game, and he's not as young as what a lot of people think that he is, so it's very interesting on that. Just in that general direction, too, so you have Rafi Nadal winning the French. It is crazy how much that Rafi Nadal, Djokovic, and Roger Federer have controlled men's tennis. I think since 2010, there's only been 6 Grand Slams that have been won by somebody else.
It is pretty incredible. And, you know, he is the clay champion, right? He
literally
cannot get beat on clay. And I was looking it up a little bit on Twitter, and it seems like he, with clay, the ball, you know, moves differently, right? You play on grass, cement, clay, and he has just that spin that seems untouchable on the clay. But I mean, I've only played on tennis courts that have broken cement, right? So I have no idea what it's like.
Today was kind of a little Black Tuesday today. Joe Girardi gets let go today with the Phillies. Joe Maddon gets let go by the Angels. In the Angels part of it, I think some of the superstar people weren't happy that he just wasn't doing enough. And on Joe Girardi's thing, when you heard it from Bryce Harper, where you have to have Bryce Harper be on your same page, listen, we need some of these young kids, and we need them playing, and the older guys need to take a day off every now and then, and we need to see if these kids can help us now or towards the end of the year. That's a couple of big-time coaching moves really early in the season.
Yeah, it really is, and what's the right way to say this, right? You know, coaches at the professional level, I think it's different in each sport. you know, I would say football is probably the coach has the most involvement. And then maybe baseball and then basketball, right? I mean, in basketball, they're drawing up plays and, you know, game planning. But the manager for baseball, he has to have everyone on the pitching schedule and look over all the however many coaches they have. And they're dealing with a lot of players who make unheard of money, right? So in the professional sports arena, the players have all the choices, right? If your player's not happy that you're paying $500 million to, you're gone. And that's the tough part when the coach doesn't make as much money as the players. It's like, okay, you have to get the respect first, and then it's like, well, what's the next step?
Yeah, the Los Angeles Angels were 27-17 2 weeks ago, and they're 27-29 today.
That's, yep, I saw Twitter that day.
Yeah, when you have two superstars on your team, Mike Trout could go down if he stays healthy as one of the greatest players of all time, and Ohtani is an amazing player and so much fun to watch. And they're struggling, and you know they're not getting rid of those two. So that's your next person up is the coach.
Right. I don't watch enough baseball. I need to get more, you know, involved to have more of an opinion, I guess.
All right. Let's take a. We got 3 minutes left in this one, and then a little bit in the next segment before you got to go. Let's get into this a little bit with the PGA and the LIV and all this that's being said today. I do think the PGA did the right thing today by saying, the Masters can do what they want to do. The British Open can do what they want to do, but the PGA and the US Open could have, more the PGA than the US Open. Cause the US Open is supposed to be, it's open to anybody that, qualifies.
That qualifies. Yep.
So keeping.
And then I'm not really sure about, what about like the exemptions, right? So Dustin Johnson, obviously, you're probably going to bring this up, but
right.
We'll just dive right into it.
Yep.
He has exemptions in a bunch of majors, so
yeah,
you don't have to have your tour card if you have an exemption, right?
No, you're going to – they're going to have no problem with him at the Masters. He's probably going to have the hardest time at the PGA, the PGA Championship. That's the one that that even if he has an exemption, because he does have an exemption because he won the Masters, that gives you an exemption for 7 years. To all of them. You know, I think sometimes here's the one thing that the PGA is lucky about. Maybe even not the word luck, but Tiger's hurt and Tiger's playing, and he's still the most watched, and you know, when he's at a tournament, it changes. And I think Tiger being neutral on this is probably helping the LIV guys a little bit. If Tiger wanted to turn on him, he could have. And if you look at what Greg Norman said, Greg Norman pretty much said that they offered him up to $1 billion to come be a part of that league. That's a lot of money.
It is. And then I don't know, like you have the European Tour, right?
Yeah.
I don't, like that's not a big deal. Like people don't seem to be upset with that.
No, and they don't
play
on
the European tour, right? But then it's just the money aspect. But
right.
Then it's like they can play in the PGA events if they qualify and if they have exemptions, and they work kind of together hand in hand a little bit. I just don't understand. It's just something new, and I think that's it. And
it's just
tough too because golf is getting so popular.
Yes,
and I don't think this is helping.
No, and the one thing that I don't want. So a lot of some of the golfers, not a lot of them, are like, you know, that's Saudi Arabia. They're not good people. They killed a journalist. Last time I checked, there's not a professional team in this country that doesn't have a oil or gas or any of that. That is part of the people that they get money from as sponsors. So you need to stop talking about the fact that the Saudi Arabian, if it has anything to do with petroleum, Saudi Arabia has a part in it. So we're the same no matter what.
Right. And I'm not being a traitor here, but the U.S. isn't all
all love and roses,
right?
No. I'm glad you're going to stick with me, so we'll continue on here. You're listening to Steen on Sports, bringing sports your way every day right here on 101.3 FM, 1700 Champ AM. Real sports talk for real sports fans. I'll be